stupid. Accessing. BFBS. Multimedia.
Hello and welcome to Multimedia, your user-friendly guide to computers, the internet and all the modern technology on 33 transmitters across the BFBS world and also available as a listen again and of course as a podcast from iTunes. My name's Dave Raven.
And I'm Mark Phillips, and there's a lot on the show today. First of all, getting flash with Macromedia Studio 8. We get under the bonnet of this great web design software.
And is Santa Claus bringing you a brand new PC for Christmas? I'll give you a list of 10 things you really must do before you connect that computer to the internet.
And if he's not buying you a computer, if you've already got one, what do you give the gadget lover in your family for Christmas? I've got some ideas for you.
Excellent, I'll be listening carefully to that. And we also have last month's competition, the results, and a great new competition for this month where you can win creative cameras to be able to have a two-way filmic conversation with your loved ones.
All sounds wonderful. All of this and more coming up right here on Multimedia.
This is BFBS Multimedia.
If you were listening to last month's Multimedia, you will have heard Mike Downey, the product manager from Macromedia, talking about their new Studio 8 product. And we talked a lot about Dreamweaver, which is the web design part of Studio 8. But Studio 8 is more than just that, and I'm happy to say Mike joins us again here on the show. As well as Dreamweaver, there are other products bundled with it, including Fireworks and Flash.
Flash is a professional authoring environment for creating interactive motion graphics on the web. So basically, you can create very rich, immersive content that includes audio, video, animation, and images. And you can allow users to interact with the environment. So you can create really, truly interactive content. To empower the content you create with the Flash authoring tool, we have the Flash Player, which is the most distributed piece of software in the history of the web. It's on more machines than any other single piece of software around the world. Over 98% of the browsing public has Flash Player. So the upside of that is that you can create interactive content, and you can expect that anybody you deploy it to is going to be able to actually experience that content without having to install anything special.
It's one thing to say it's easy to do. Is it really a case of, is it almost like using scissors and cutting things out and bits of glue and making stuff move about in that way?
It would be nice if it were that easy. but no, not quite. It depends on what you want to create. You know, a lot of people create animations and content that just kind of accents the site, the website itself. Ad banners and intro movies and navigation bars and things like that. And those are fairly straightforward to do.
Are there pitfalls? I think we're getting better now as the web matures. But a year, 18 months, 2 years ago, that you did see a lot of sites where the Flash almost obscured what the website was trying to do. You'd have an all-singing, all-dancing website, which wasn't necessarily the best way to go because it complete, you know, you just thought, enough, it's too much. I just want to see what, you know, where's the information here?
Yeah, we like to use the term, steal an expression from Spider-Man, but with great power comes great responsibility. And unfortunately and fortunately, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Flash gives you a lot of power to do just about anything you want to in as far as rich interactive content. And yes, especially in the early days, people were just trying to be as creative as possible. And you saw a lot of animation and motion and stuff that in some cases were in your face. And the term skip intro became very popular on the web. Since then, the technology's really matured.
And the integration between something you've done in the Flash product and something you're doing in Dreamweaver, there's a lot of crossover between the two programs.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the other product you mentioned earlier was Fireworks, which is our graphics editing, creation, and optimization tool. And all three of these products are part of the studio. So with Flash, you can build this great interactive content. You can publish it and then seamlessly take it into Dreamweaver, which is the HTML web authoring tool that allows you to embed that content and deploy it on the web. And then any images, any bitmap images that you work with along the way, whether you're putting them in your HTML page or you're bringing them into Flash, you can work in our Fireworks authoring tool, and you can seamlessly move those graphics between Fireworks, Flash, and Dreamweaver.
So those are the three main tools, but there are lots of other bits and pieces as well. One that a lot of people have talked about is Contribute. Now, this basically, if I understand it, lets you, once you've designed your website in Dreamweaver, you can then give people who want to update it a copy of Contribute, and they will then work on the content of the website without changing any of the nuts and bolts behind the scenes. So they can put new pages in and so on and so forth, but without actually damaging any of the original code.
Contribute is interesting because it has two markets, two focuses. The first is the main focus, which is what you describe. It's the end user who literally wants Word for the web. They want Word for editing web pages. And that's what Contribute was designed for. It's completely visual. It works with standards-based code at the same time, but you never even see the underlying code when you're working in Contribute. It's completely visual, drag and drop, very, very easy to use. The reason we put it in the studio is to address the second market for Contribute, which is professional users that are administering a site that has Contribute users on it. So Contribute allows you to actually set up roles and responsibilities for anybody editing the content on the website. So you take the typical marketing person. If you don't want them changing all the colors and changing everything and messing everything up, I say marketing person because I'm a marketing person, so I can make fun of my own profession. But you know, we can keep them from messing up the style of the site by, as a web professional, setting rules and restrictions and limiting them to only being able to change certain things. In order to set all those policies and administer those sites, you need to have a copy of Contribute yourself.
It's not a cheap product, Studio 8 by itself. The full package is £700 odd, but you do get a good slice off with the educational discount.
We obviously think that, you know, it's important for us to take care of students because they're the users of our future, and we've always fully supported that. And just like the industry standard, we have very attractive pricing for our students and teachers.
Now, I know there's a lot more in Studio 8. There are products that we haven't even mentioned, but time is up, I'm afraid. If you want to find out more, do have a look at macromedia.com on the web. That's macromedia.com. Mike Downey, Product Manager for Macromedia Flash, thanks very much for coming in to see us at Multimedia.
Thank you so much, Mark. It was a pleasure.
BFBS Multimedia. And if you're hoping that Santa's going to be bringing you a brand new PC down the chimney at Christmas time, or even if you just plan to get a new PC anyway, here are 10 things you really, really have to do before you even think about connecting the PC to the internet. It came out in the middle of this year from the very renowned company called Sophos that if you have an unprotected computer and you connect to the internet, you've got 12 minutes, basically, before that computer is infected with a virus. That's the average time. They have seen it happen as quick as 30 seconds. So basically, if you get a brand new PC out of the box and plug it straight into the internet, it's probably going to be infected before you've even browsed your first website. So here are the 10 things you have to do to ensure that's not going to happen. Don't worry if you can't scribble them all down now. We'll put them on the multimedia website, which you'll find at bfbs.com/multimedia. And the first thing you do is you get your antivirus software. I'm working on the principle now you already have got a PC. And if you've got a PC, you have got antivirus software, haven't you? It's no good shaking your head. If you haven't, you should really get yourself down to your local computer shop and get some, or get some from a friend. But if you have an existing computer with antivirus software and have been doing all the updates, that's the first thing you do, is you make a starter CD-ROM of all your antivirus software, the one that you use all the time, because that's going to be the one which makes your computer, your new one, sort of ready to go and ready to fight all the viruses that are out there. The next thing you do is open up your computer, don't plug it into the internet yet, and remove all the what are called promotional applications, the ones you get free of charge, which comes with your Windows operating system, and they hope that you're going to try them out. Sometimes they're what's called light versions, they only do certain things. Other times they are limited by the number of days, you can try them for 30 days or 60 days. But you probably have a fair idea now of the things you don't want. So generally speaking, you get things like AOL and Earthlink, you get money, and QuickBooks, a whole range of stuff. And generally speaking, you don't want any of these. And the reason why you want to take them off now before you connect to the internet is that otherwise, when you're on the internet, it'll spot that you've got, say, a Microsoft Money or something and say, do you want to register it or activate it? And the idea is, no, you want to get rid of all of these things. So step two, get rid of all the promotional applications. Step 3, now install the antivirus software you made onto that CD we mentioned in Step 1. Now, I'm working on the principle we're talking about Windows machines here. If it's a Mac computer, you needn't worry quite so much about the antivirus things. But we're talking about Windows XP too. But it's not a bad idea if you know how to. It's to get all the Windows XP Service Pack 2 updates, which you've got on your present computer, and get them on your starter CD-ROM as well, because it's going to save you later on when you go onto the internet. And it's also probably a good time, as well as installing your antivirus software, is to install your anti-spyware software. And if you haven't got any of that, again, it's something you should be worth considering for your computer. Next thing you do is turn on the firewall. Now, Windows XP Service Pack 2 comes with a firewall, but it's not a particularly good one, not a particularly strong one, and it should be switched on. But the first thing you do is check to make sure that it is switched on. So far, so good. All the promotional applications have gone, your antivirus software is on, your anti-spyware software is on, and your firewall is switched on. What do you do next? Step 5. Install all your other peripherals, the hardware you plug into your computer, things like printers and scanners and digital cameras. And the reason why you do that now is that when you do connect to the internet, it'll say, oh, he's got an Epson printer, or it's got a Canon camera, and it'll get any software updates automatically. So it's a good idea, therefore, to put all these peripherals on at the beginning, so it's all done when you go on the internet the first time around. Now you set up your two accounts. Two accounts, I hear you say? Yes, you really should have two accounts for your computer. One is the admin account, which is the one you use if you want to make alterations and add software and alter the basic running of the computer. Now, you may be thinking, well, I've got those facilities anyway as part of my normal computer account. Well, you shouldn't have. The simple thing is that most of the time we're using our computers, we don't need to add software and make alterations. And so the safest thing by far, and probably if there's one thing you remember from my whole 10-minute diatribe, is have two accounts. The admin account, which you only log into when you want to make changes, and your normal day-to-day user account, which means that if something comes down through the internet, some virus or Trojan, it can't make any alterations because it doesn't. You don't have the rights to do that. So the first thing you do is make your administrator account with a good password, and having done that, then open your second account, what we'll call your user account, again with a password, but you don't give yourself administration facilities. If this is not making sense to you, just drop an email to us at Multimedia, because I think it's something which we'll look at in early 2006. We can't stress how important it is to have those two accounts, the administrator account and the day-to-day user account, even though you are one and the same person. Okay, nearly there. Number 8, turn off all the unnecessary Windows services. Now, Microsoft has been getting better, but there's still lots of unnecessary services and processes running by default on most PCs. And if you want to see how many they are, just do the Control-Alt-Delete. Control-Alt-Delete, and click Task Manager, and then Processes. And if you look then, you'll see a whole range of things, and you think, what are they doing? Now, quite a few of these can be turned off. But if you don't fully understand what they're all doing, the best thing is probably, for the time being, leave them on. Don't turn them off straight away, because it's something you can always do later on. Nearly there now. Now establish a system restore point. Now you've done the first 8 steps, you should now establish what's called a system restore point. And to manually create this, just launch the system restore utility by clicking Start, All Programs, Accessories, System Tools, System Restore. There we go, we'll do it again. The hierarchical system is the Start button at the bottom left-hand corner, All Programs, Accessories, System Tools, and then System Restore, and then follow the steps in the wizard. Now, this means if you do have to restore your computer, it's at this point when it's all set up, all the drivers are in, and it's clean still, and this is a really good point, therefore, to have the System Restore point. And then the final step, the bit you've all been waiting for, is install and configure your router, which gets to the internet. Now, it already may be installed and configured if you've got one in the house, but basically, make sure the firewall on that is all set up properly and everything is working okay. And the one reason why I would recommend a router rather than just one of these USB ADSL broadband modems is when you connect your PC directly to the internet, it gets its IP address, which means it can be seen by every hacker and person trying to get into your computer, and he can identify immediately your PC. By putting a router in the chain, the router has an address which people from outside can see, but they can't see the other computers connected to that router, so it does become quite a valuable thing. My recommendation would be, in a way, throw away the free USB ADSL modem you get with your broadband setup and buy yourself a router, and if you've got the money, buy a wireless one at the same time. But those 10 things will make sure that when you do get on the internet, your computer will be as safe as it can be from all the Trojans, viruses, and malwares floating around on the internet. And as long as you keep your antivirus software and also your anti-spyware software up to date, your computer can stay as clean as it was on the day you got it.
BFBS Multimedia.
Competition Arm and Multimedia, and first of all, we look back at last month where we're giving away a superb collection of four sets of videos. Soldier Soldier, four DVDs in that, Public Eye, The Sandbaggers, and also Reagan, the very first in the series. Actually, when I went through the box, I can only find one Public Eye, so what we'll actually do is the first one out gets a complete set of the four DVDs, and the runner-up gets only three, doesn't get Public Eye. The question we asked was, which particular TV network did this tune come from? And amazingly, about half of you got it wrong. You gave
really? You
gave all sorts of answers ranging from Central to ATV to Anglian, all over the place. But enough of you, thankfully, got it right. And so the winners, therefore, I'll draw two winners out who correctly identify the fact that it was Thames Television. And so the winners of these great DVDs, the first one comes out is Tim McNeil. Well done, Tim, in BFHC in Vegburg, BFPO 40. You get all four of the DVDs. And the runner-up is Chris Perry. There's a name that rings a bell. You've won before, Chris, but I think it's been quite some time. And you're in Gibraltar at the R&H and the Pharmacy in BFPO 52. Well done to the two of you. Your DVDs will be on their way to you in the next 24 hours or so.
And thanks a lot again to Network DVD. We will have more Network DVDs to give away. In fact, we've got some great competitions coming up for you on multimedia, including we've got a copy of Macromedia Studio 8 to give away, which is worth about £400 or £500, I think. That's an excellent prize. But this month, as it's coming to Christmas, we thought we'd try and get people closer together. So what we've got is two pairs of webcams. Now, this means if you're serving abroad and you've got family at home, and it's nice getting the phone call on Christmas Day, but wouldn't it be really nice if you could see them? Well, now you can, because thanks to Creative Labs, we've got you'll have a webcam sent out to you wherever you're serving, and another one sent out to a family or friend that you tell us about. And they're very easy to set up. Ideally, if you've got broadband at both ends, then you will be able to see and hear and talk and to interact with people. It's a bit like two-way family favourites with video, really, isn't it, Dave?
Yes, and they've got much easier to set up, but I also believe you've actually been told by Creative that if people do have some difficulties, they're prepared to give them a quick hand too. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. I mean, they're very interested to see just how they can help keep people in touch over Christmas, especially if you're serving somewhere away from the UK. So they're going to be on hand. They'll have technical boffins if you need them. But as I say, we haven't looked at webcams for a while, and they really have changed in ease of setup now, because most people are running Windows XP, and it really is pretty much a case of drop the CD into the drive, load up the software, plug the camera in, and you're off and running. So it does work remarkably well.
And what's the question they have to answer to win these great cameras?
Well, rather than a question, all we want you to do is tug on our heartstrings a bit. Just tell us where you are and who you would like to see on your webcam, on your computer on Christmas Day, and why you can't be there. So let us know as soon as you can, please, with full details of where you are, and also full details of your relation, your wife, your loved ones, your parents, whoever that you think that would like to receive a webcam, because we want to try and get these out nice and early for you.
That's the important thing, because normally with the competitions, we ask the question, and 4 weeks later, we then draw the winners out. But to ensure that you get the cameras in time for Christmas, we're going to have only like about a week or 10 days maximum. So the question will be posed, and then we'll be drawing the winners out in about a week after that. So you really must get your entries in pretty quickly. And if you're looking at the multimedia webpage on the internet, and it's beyond the end of November into December, you're going to be too late, I'm afraid. We're drawing the winners out pretty quickly.
Indeed. And all you have to do is write, drop us an email to multimedia@bfbs.com. That's multimedia@bfbs.com. And we've got two pairs of Creative Labs webcams to give away. Well, the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness is almost upon us, so I thought I'd give you a couple of ideas of things that you could put in the Christmas stocking of a techie person, a geek near you. For instance, if you know somebody who's got an iPod or a portable music player, Creative Labs have got some rather dinky little tiny speakers called the Travel Sound 400. Now, what I really like about these is that the speakers can swivel and fold down into the body of the unit, which means that you don't have to worry about them getting damaged when you sling them in your suitcase and you take them away. The unit is battery powered. The downside is they don't give you a mains adapter with it. The upside is that it's powered by four bog standard AA batteries, and it gives you up to 35 hours of playtime. And for such tiny speakers, the sound quality is actually pretty good. That's the Travel Sound 400 from Creative. I suppose the ultimate Christmas gift, because it is such a classic object of desirability, is the iPod Nano. This is the tiny, tiny little iPod that is so slim and so tiny and so lovable, you just can't help but want one. These come in 2 gig and 4 gig sizes, and I'd recommend the 4 gig because the 2 gig one fills up really quickly. And again, it comes with everything that you need to get it going. And if you've got an older computer, you may need a USB 2 card to really get the most out of it. They're available from most computer shops at around £10-15. But if you've got a relatively modern computer, then the iPod Nano is sleek, sexy, and certainly here in London, you can get them in most of the stores. So they seem to be matching the supply to the demand. Finally, as another Christmas gift, and this is something that will help keep you in touch with your friends and relatives who can't be with you at Christmas, and it's a webcam. Now, we've had webcams on the show before, and what's different about this one? It's the Creative Labs Webcam Live Motion. Well, there's a clue in the title, the Live Motion, and what it is, it's got automatic pan and tilt and face following. So basically, you switch on the automatic mode and you sit there and you dial up somebody, say, in MSN Messenger or in one of the other messaging clients of your choice. It sits there and it watches you and it follows you about. So if you start to go for a walk around the room, off it goes. The picture quality is really quite excellent, but it should be considering the retail price is almost £100 here in the UK. It's very easy to set up. Certainly in my case, it just plugged in and it worked. The only thing I found is a bit of an issue with it is that for some reason when I'm sitting in front of it, it tends to sort of wander off to the right and doesn't keep me in view all the time. However, it has got a terrific wide angle lens, so it means you do see a lot more with this webcam than you would with, say, some cheaper ones. And this is the Webcam Live Motion. As I say, it's available from Creative Labs and the retail price is around £99, but I reckon if you shop around, you should get it for a fair bit cheaper than that.
Multimedia News.
Yes, it's always the last bit on the show, and you find us down in the basement of Dennis Publishing in London, where above us it's a very, very chilly day indeed, a horrible November frosty day out there, but it's nice and warm as toast in here with Paul Trotter, the news and features editor of PC Pro Magazine.
How are you?
I'm good, if a little frozen. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
We've known for some time that certain CDs, that you try and rip them into your computer and they're copy protected and they won't let you. But now that's turned a whole new corner with Sony's latest stuff that they're putting on CDs.
Yeah, copyright infringement and piracy has been a big problem for the record labels ever since the computer industry started allowing you to play music on your computer. But Sony seems to have taken a rather too aggressive tactic to try and prevent this. One or two of their CDs, when you play them, it will actually install something that's quite similar to spyware on your computer that will stop you from doing that. And this spyware is hidden in the root of your operating system, and it seems to be quite difficult to get out.
So what does it actually do then? It's actually installing software onto your machine.
Installing software without anyone knowing, without users knowing, which in many people's book is spyware, and then it won't allow you to make any copies of that CD. You can argue whether that's, you know, fair or not fair, but in terms of installing something without the users asking for it, that's going to be problematic. There's lawsuits have been filed already, and Microsoft is putting something into their anti-spyware software to try and prevent Sony from doing this.
So even Microsoft are opposed to it?
Even Microsoft. Microsoft's been making a big thing about spyware and blocking spyware. And of course, they have their own their product to do that now. So they've jumped on this to try and win over a few computer users too. So if you download Microsoft's anti-spyware now, it'll find out if this software's on there and remove it for you.
So what does this Sony product actually do to your computer?
It doesn't actually do a great deal. There have been some claims that it actually affects performance, but in its most basic form, it'll be lurking in the background, so you won't actually see it, but it just won't allow you to copy that CD.
Okay, so if you've had an experience of that, please drop us a line to multimedia@bfbs.com and we'll look into it. There's a new initiative from the government here in the UK called Get Safe Online, which sounds like a laudable idea.
Yeah, the government set up this website, getsafeonline.org, which provides an outline for computer newbies to try and help them protect their computers.
Is it enough? I mean, the thing that I'm finding again and again is that people who've got computers, the majority of people, really don't know how to protect themselves. They don't even know how to do the basic, the Windows updates and the antivirus updates.
Well, it's a small step, but it's a small step in the right direction. And I think any kind of education for the masses could prove useful. It's got quite a lot of quite basic information up there, but it could actually get through kind of some of the technical terms that we know about, but new users don't.
And finally, broadband's taking another giant speed leap here in the UK as well, with the launch of 24 meg broadband. 24 meg broadband has now come to the UK.
Yeah, that's the headline figure anyway. It's probably quite true to say that most people wouldn't be able to access the net at that speed. It's all to do with how close you are to the internet exchange. Although UK Online are promising that everybody would be able to get at least 8 megabit per second, but it's probably a very small percentage of people who will be able to get anything up to 20.
What are we going to do with all this extra fast bandwidth when it does arrive?
It's a good question because at home, I mean, I've only got a 1 megabit connection at home, and that suffices for browsing the internet and sending emails. But when you're talking about in the next year or two, we've got so many people in the home all connected at once, you probably are going to need faster speeds. If, for example, you've got one person watching the TV over your internet connection, one person using your VoIP service, and then there's also other people browsing and downloading music tracks, you're going to need as much as you can get.
Bigger, faster, more. That's the message there. As always, we'll be hearing more from Paul Trotter, News and Features Editor of PC Pro, next month. In the meantime, to keep up to date with all the PC news, have a look at www.pcpro.co.uk. That's www.pcpro.co.uk. Paul, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's almost it for Multimedia for November. The December edition is going to be somewhat different. Going back to tradition, in a way, because we normally gather the great and the good of the IT and computing press together to find out what their thoughts were on the year almost ended and their thoughts for the year about to come. And that's going to happen again this year, which is good news.
It is, and we'll be meeting probably up in somewhere in central London where most of the computer press is. But we'll tell you more about that when we do the show next month. For those of you that have sent me very nice emails, yes, we're still waiting for the baby to come out. It's due any second now. It may even have dropped by the time you hear this program, especially if you're listening to the podcast edition. But we're waiting for Philip's pod number 2 to drop at the moment, which is quite stressful, actually.
The dear listener probably has got no concept of how this program has actually squeaked its way together just in time for the Wednesday transmission of the show. Normally we have the whole thing in planned much better than this, but anyway, I wish Wendy lots of luck. I'm sure everybody does. Let's have a review of the competition once again.
Once again, thanks to Creative Labs, we have 2 pairs of webcams to give away, and the idea is that if you're serving somewhere a long way away abroad and you'd like to see somebody, you miss your loved ones on Christmas Day, rather than just give them a phone call, why not see them in full moving colour as well. So the idea is we'll send you one webcam, we'll send your loved one another webcam, and you put them together, and hopefully, especially if you've got broadband, then you will be able to see each other and coo and bill and give each other good luck and wish each other Merry Christmas. That's the idea of it, and all you have to do to win one of these pairs of cameras is just to tell us where you're going to be on Christmas Day, why you can't be with your loved one, and just pull on the heartstrings, and we will send you one.
We'll draw the winners out before the end of November, so those cameras get to you in time. And we will need to know not only your address, your BFPO address, wherever you are in the world, but also the other address of the person that you would like the other camera sent to. So we need two addresses from you to ensure that those cameras get to the right places.
And preferably emails for both of those, and phone numbers as well, just in case.
That's right. Anyway, and that's a great prize to look forward to for Christmas. We'll be talking more about that on the Christmas show. But that's it for the November edition. From me, Dave Raven.
And from me, Mark Phillips.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ra.